And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, help us to hear the things that you want to say to us. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Thea, for reading Psalm 23 for us. And the kids, I know that Amanda sent through to your parents some great kind of activity sheets. And one of them is that passage that Thea's just read. And another one is some sermon notes for kids and even adults. I encourage you at this time, you might want to grab a pen and paper and just jot down some things. There's a place where you can jot down, kids, what the reading was for today. And as we look at this reading, I want to pray that God would just help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives at this time. So, Lord Jesus, please help me and help us, wherever we're listening to this, to hear your words and to apply them into our lives. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, so much has changed this week for all of us. I want to give you a little sense of that by just telling you a few stories about some mums in the church that maybe you can relate to, even if you're not a mum. But I know for many mums, this week has suddenly changed to a time where they are now got kids at home as the schools stop and are closed. I know that many mums have got kids bouncing off the walls, small, hyperactive small boys who are wanting to run around more than they're getting a chance to, and teenagers who are missing their friends. That's a massive change for many of the mums. It's got some fun opportunities, but it's got some challenges too. There are mums, some of whom are grandmoms, grandmas, and they are beginning a time of self-isolation, a time when it's hard not to see their children and grandkids in the same way that they would have done. And our thoughts and prayers, as Dan was praying earlier, are with you. There are other mums who are facing big challenges in how their work and jobs look in these days. There are huge uncertainties, questions about what will happen and what it will mean for their work. Many, many people in our city are in that situation. And then there are mums whose roles are as key workers, doctors, nurses, teachers, and others who are still maybe in different ways needing to work, even to step up, as we were again praying in a moment ago. These are challenging days in different ways for all of us. But I do believe that we can all grow, young and old, mums, dads, those who are married, those who are not. We can all grow through this in faith and love for God and for each other. It's been wonderful to see the love and care that has been shown in so many different ways, even in this past week. And I do believe there are things that God wants to teach us through this crisis, things that God wants to change in us, in me and in you, and in us as a church. You know, everything is very different than it was a week ago, but I want to talk this morning about something in which we can find a deep, deep security in changing times, even crisis. And this security is all to do with the shepherd that we read about in Psalm 23. I wanted to take us to Psalm 23 this morning, particularly because it is our Lent devotional reading for the day that many in the church have been reading through these 40 days leading up until Easter. I have been finding it such a help to morning by morning, even through this past week, more so than maybe at any other time, to just come and open up God's word and let it speak to me. And if you've not been yet reading the Lent devotions, we've been going through Matthew during the weekdays, and then there's a psalm on the Sundays, and this is the psalm for this Sunday. Then please do just pick up the reading tomorrow. You can go to YouVersion, or you can just start reading in Matthew. In YouVersion, it's called Lent for Everyone, or you can just pick it up in, we're in Matthew, we're starting Matthew 19 tomorrow, so do just start reading that. I also want to say one of the things I've been so thankful for, and Dan mentioned this as he was leading worship, is just God bringing scriptures to mind. And one of the wonderful things about taking time to learn God's word is it can help us to be able to recall it at different points in our day. And so why not this week, whether again you're young or old, whether you're in a family situation or you're on your own, why don't we as a whole church family kind of this week do something together, and that is learn this psalm by heart. Take it time to memorize it and chew over it. One of the things I love about this psalm is that it starts with God. Whenever we start by thinking about God first, it helps us. The psalmist, King David, who himself was a shepherd, starts like this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I remember my mum teaching me this, and one of the things she taught me was from a story she'd heard, and it was just of a little boy who'd learnt to learn this psalm by holding different fingers as he said different words. So when he said "the," he held his thumb, and then "Lord," his index finger, and then "is my shepherd." I wonder, can you do that with me, kids, and get your parents to do that as well, and even whatever age you are, why not just do this with me? "The Lord is my shepherd." There's something wonderful about that definite article at the beginning, "the." It's got an emphatic beginning, and that he's our Lord, the God of the universe. He knows our name, and he's able to be with us. The "is" reminds us that he's alive and present right now. The "my" reminds us that we can personally know him, that the God of the universe can be my and yours. And then lastly, shepherd. He's our shepherd. He cares for us and loves us. And you know, the wonderful thing about knowing the Lord as my shepherd is that the psalmist says, "I shall not be in want," or as some translations say, "I have everything I need." You know, think for a moment. What does that mean? It's an easy thing to read. But at this time when so many are worried that they might run out of rice or pasta or toilet paper, in this kind of time of panic buying, does that mean that in these months ahead we're never going to run out of pasta or rice or toilet paper? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will never face challenges or never face things that we wished we had that we don't. But what it does mean is that we have a loving Heavenly Father, the mighty God, who says he cares for us and he knows what we need even more than we do, and he has committed himself to caring for us. Another member of our congregation, Jackie Edgel, emailed me this week. She'd been reflecting on all that we've been learning through Nehemiah over these past weeks and months. And she wrote this. She said, "This is going to be a long haul for everyone. Something that keeps coming back to my mind," she wrote, "is where Nehemiah reminds the nation that in the wilderness their shoes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. They were in a whole new and uncomfortable situation where dependence on God was more consciously needed than ever. And they proved God in their immediate needs and in their long-term ones. His resources don't run out like supermarket goods do. He is able to make us to stand, and having done all, still to stand. We shall get tired and maybe worse, but still he cares for us, she wrote. Thanks so much, Jackie, for sending that through. How true it is. We can trust him. So in all this, as we look at this psalm, I want us to remember this wonderful picture of God, our shepherd, the one who gives us and brings security into our lives, whatever unknowns the future holds. And I want to just say a few brief things that I believe this shepherd wants to teach us at this time this morning. Things that we can learn and grow, whatever our age or stage in life at this time. And the first is this: I believe the good shepherd wants us to learn to be still. Look what he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. For many of us, we are being told to work from home. This is both a huge challenge and a huge opportunity. And even for those who are not in regular work, we are being told to stay at home. And this is a challenge because we are so used to being on the go, to doing this and that, fast paced, going here and there. I know that this has been a particular challenge that I've found. But there is an opportunity in these weeks and months ahead for us to learn how to be still. Why is that important? Well, because God uses stillness to restore our soul, to revive us. You know, and even for those whose work is becoming more complex and more demanding at this time, for doctors and nurses and others, key workers, it is going to be so important in amidst all the pressures to just take even a few seconds of stillness to breathe and to know the Lord is God. And I've been consciously trying to do that this week, even in some of the intensity of all that's changed in the life of the church. Allow God to restore your soul. You know, we're in this together, and there are many challenges that we face in similar ways. Many of us who will be at home need to probably take the discipline to turn off at times the emails and news or TV and all the kind of notifications and tune out of something so that we can tune into the Lord. Kids, I remember a time in our carol service at Christmas where you did something and it had a profound impact on not just me, but I know from many. It was the end of your song and you all actually, you kind of lie down on the stage. Do you remember that? You all lied down and you were still. Can you do that now with me, kids? Maybe even get your parents to put their feet on the sofa. Just for 5 seconds, let's be still. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then as you get up, you feel different. And that was just 5 seconds of lying down. Imagine if you took a bit longer and you thought about your good shepherd, that he is caring for you, that you don't need to rush around frantically or check lots of different bits of information because he has got you. I've been thinking about a song which we sing quite often here. It says, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place." But I want to say this morning, it's not just this place that when we're still, the presence of the Lord can move in. He can move in your homes. That third verse of that song goes on to say, he comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. You and I can be still because he is our shepherd. Secondly, though, I believe at this time, the good shepherd wants to teach us and help us learn how to be led. He goes on and says this: he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, for so many of us, our routines have completely changed. Our plans, our diaries have changed. And it's amazing how much of our day and lives are guided by our routines and schedules and timetables. You know, good habits and good routines really help us in life. But all those are up in the air at the moment, and we need God to guide us into new routines, and He will if we listen to Him. I encourage you, whether you're, again, on your own at this time or with family, to prayerfully consider and ask God to guide you into some new, even temporary routines just for the next week. You can try them and then change them after that. They don't need to be down to the minute, but routines of things like starting the day well. We said this week we'd all try and get up and dress before 9 o'clock and even try and do a little bit of exercise and have some time with God. Routines about ending the day well, of just like coming together and pausing and giving thanks and praying. At moments in the middle of the day, remembering to eat well and gather if you're in a home with others to share in some food. But maybe as well to look beyond and have a kind of rhythm of each day ringing someone, of contacting someone to see how they are doing. I remember a couple called Les and Beryl who were in their retirement and they used to be part of this church for many years and they're now in heaven. They died some years ago. But I remember they used to commit their day, each day during their retirement, into the Lord's hands. They remembered a verse where it said, "Our times are in your hands. God, would you direct us?" And God did. And I want to encourage you, be open to His promptings and follow them. He will guide you in paths of righteousness, good paths that honor His name. And things like today, where we can come together at 7 o'clock and pray the Lord's Prayer and light that candle. There are ways in which He can guide us even together in these days as we share in these moments. Because He's our good shepherd, we can trust that He will lead us and guide us. I heard this week of one kid asking his mum, "What day was it again?" And when you're in self-isolation, it can get a bit like that. But you know, one of the things that routines can help us with is actually knowing that whatever day it is, God is with us. And I would encourage you, try and make your weekends, your Saturdays or your Sundays, your Sabbath feel different to the other days, even when you're in your own home. Thirdly, I want to point us to this verse in verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I believe at this time that our good shepherd wants us to learn to be brave. To learn to be brave. You know, we are in one of these "even though" times that the psalmist talks about. We are walking through a valley of a shadow of death. And what is unique about this time is that everyone in the whole world is actually walking through this valley. It is affecting us in different ways in terms of how we respond, but we are all being affected by it. But part of this valley, for those who know the shepherd as their Lord, those who've kind of said, "Yes, He is my shepherd," is that that shadow is not something to be afraid of. You know, when we feel fear, we naturally look for comfort. Often, though, we look in the wrong places. We can kind of go to comfort eating or excessive drinking or binge watching of Netflix or other TV or rubbish on the internet or endless social media feeds. But those things never really comfort us like we think they will. What comforts us is the awareness of God's presence. The awareness that our good shepherd is with us and we are under His loving care. And this picture here of the rod and staff coming to comfort us are a picture that reminds us of His word, that kind of speaks into our lives, that reminds us of His presence. And actually, wonderfully, Tom Wright, as he was writing in the devotional many of us were reading this morning, he talked about the rod being a piece of word and the staff being a piece of word and then coming together in this wonderful, powerful place of the cross. You see, the cross of Jesus has done something wonderful to comfort us at this time. The cross has taken the sting or the scary teeth, if you like, away from death, and it's given us the light of His presence. I don't know if you've ever done any hand shadows. I'm going to come back over here, if that's okay, John, just up here briefly. And one of the things with some hand shadows is that you can make different shapes. One of the simplest shapes is the shape of a crocodile, like that. Maybe you could do that, kids. Find a lamp and a bit of light and make a crocodile shape. It's not really that scary compared to a crocodile, is it? Because it's just a shadow and it doesn't have any teeth. And that's the thing. Because of what Jesus has done, because at the cross he was separated from God the Father, we need never be separated, even when we're going through that valley of the shadow of death. The one who has conquered death is with us, and he has defeated death. One of the things that I want to encourage parents in these days, I know this has been advice that's been shown to be really important, is to not be afraid to talk about these things with your kids. But talk about them in that wonderful confidence that there is one who has control over all things, whose hands we are in. He is the one who died and rose again, and we're approaching that wonderful celebration of Easter. You know, we might be missing the presence of others, but we need never worry that we won't have the presence of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So because he is my shepherd and your shepherd, we can be brave. We can be courageous in these days. And lastly, there's one more thing in this psalm which I want us to see that the Good Shepherd wants us to learn and grow in these days, and that is learning to be generous. Learning to be generous. Look how the psalmist goes on. He says this: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that phrase in verse 5 at the end where it says, my cup overflows. Kids, in some of the information that Amanda sent out to your parents, I think she got them to try and get a bowl and a jug and some water ready for you to do something with me. The bowl is so you don't make a mess on the carpet near where you are. But I wonder if you can imagine and even do this with me, kids. You've got a cup and God is wanting to pour into it. That's this picture of his goodness and love following us all the days of our lives, of us being able to feed on the abundance of him. And as he pours into our lives, this picture that our cup overflows, we have all that we need in him, enough to be an overflowing people at this time, a generous people. It's such a delightful, wonderful picture, an overflowing cup. It means you can have things to offer others. Lovely to get a drink. We have enough. We have enough even to keep giving. Don't forget what we do have. Don't forget the one who is with us to keep pouring into our lives. You know, we have confidence that our good shepherd will care for us and be generous to us, and that his love means that we can go on loving and being an overflowing people. In fact, in Nehemiah, in the chapter 10 that we were looking at just a few weeks ago, one of the things that Nehemiah encourages the people as they kind of have a revival moment where they recommit their lives to the Lord is that he talks to them about the importance of generosity, restoring that ancient path of generosity that has been so important for lives down through the century. You know, as a church this week, one of the big things we've been working on is these teams and strategies that we've wanted to develop to make sure we're caring for people well, both inside and ultimately outside the church, as we seek to reach out to with the love of God. I know many of you have been telling neighbors and friends that if they've got any practical needs, to give a shout. And we can do that. We can be generous because generosity comes from security. Generosity comes from security, and because of our good shepherd, we can be secure. Even Jesus, as he gave so completely of himself, did it out of a security in his Father's love. I love this verse in John chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, where it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he not just served and washed their feet then, but the very next day he went to the cross and died for them. Because he is my shepherd, I can be generous in these times. Because he is your shepherd, you can be generous, because there is a security that is so secure that we have that it enables us to be sacrificial. So, as we come to end and respond, how are we going to be still? How are we going to be led? How are we going to be able to be brave? How are we going to be able to be generous? Well, by knowing deeply in our hearts that we are secure. There may be a crisis, there is a crisis. But our shepherd, our good shepherd, is bigger than the crisis. And we are secure in him. He is the good shepherd who, as Jesus himself said, talking about himself, he is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep. How will he not also give us all that we need in these days? May he give you the grace and the peace and awareness of his presence that you need in this week and weeks ahead. I want to lead us in a time of prayer now, but I'm going to start it by just inviting you to be still. And it may help you, even as you're still, to just hold on to that fourth finger, that the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe up until now you wouldn't have thought of him as your shepherd, but you want him to be your shepherd in this time. I encourage you, hold on to that finger, and in the stillness, come to the Lord, who is our shepherd. We're going to pray using some prayer exercises. I wonder if you would just stand with me where you are. And I find it so helpful. I do this most mornings to just pray and raise my hand and just simply say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, would you lead me this day and all my days? I surrender to you. And then if you put your hands out in front of you like you're receiving, I find this helpful to just say, Lord, I receive from you. I receive your presence. Your presence that drives out fear. I receive your peace and hope, and help me share those things with others. And then lastly, I encourage you to put your arms outstretched like Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and say, Lord, help me keep being generous and reaching out to those around me, just like you reached out to those in need. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for the security I have in you that enables me to be sacrificial in my love for others. Come, Holy Spirit, help us, we pray. Amen.